At 10:03 this morning, when the bell rang, an important cosmic shift occurred. You probably didn't feel it, but at 10:03 this morning was the moment the northern half of our globe tilted the farthest away from the sun that it ever gets, giving us the shortest day and the longest night. It seems fitting that this year, the longest night, the longest darkness, comes on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Because Advent, you know, is not a season of celebration. It is rather the season in which we acknowledge the darkness, the presence of evil in the world, the difficulty of holding on to hope, the edge of despair on which the world seems to be tottering. Advent is our descent into the darkness, into its pain and its uncertainty. But Advent does not leave us there. Today, at 10:06, we hear Mary's song, the song of the very young, soon-to-be mother of the Savior of the world. This morning, her song will crack open the darkness. Hope will be reborn. The shroud that had been enclosing the world begins to lighten. All because Mary trusted the promise that the angel gave her. She trusted. And in that trust, she dared to sing out loud the consequences of that promise, that the one to whom she would soon give birth would change the world, would change all of us, would change everything. In the moment of deepest darkness, prompted by the promise, she found the courage to sing this song from the Gospel of Luke. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises that he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I've been wondering this week whether maybe Mary sang this song to Jesus as he was growing up. And if maybe in this song was where Jesus learned to respect and value the women in his life in ways very few men ever did in those severely patriarchal days. Certainly no other character in any of the four Gospels talked with women and stood up for women and supported them the way that Jesus did. Certainly no one else was more willing to risk his reputation and his standing than Jesus was. So I like to think that it was Mary's singing of her Magnificat to the young Jesus that instilled in him this inclination toward kindness, his insistence on caring for those who were without power or status. He must have heard Mary's voice often as she went about her work in the home, singing this song as he was growing up. And maybe it was her song, praising God who lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry with good things, that opened his heart to the poor and the sick, to the refugees who, like Mary and Joseph, longed for nothing more than a safe and healthy place to raise their children. Maybe it was Mary's song that inspired Jesus to reach for the scroll of Isaiah that day in Nazareth when he preached his first public sermon. He unrolled the scroll and he read these words. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And what I really wonder about is just where Mary found the courage to stand up to the whole Roman Empire, to sing out and call out the evil embodied in the wealth and the power of Rome. In Rome, as in every other time and place since, the rich and the powerful had almost everything. People like Mary, the vast majority of people, survived as best they could on the scraps that fell from the overfull tables of the insanely wealthy. And in case you're wondering, not much has changed about that in the last 2,000 years. 9 years ago, back in 2017, the Oxfam organization published a report showing that eight people, had more wealth than the 3.5 billion people who lived at the bottom of this economic pile. 3.5 billion people doing their best and often failing to survive in that lower half of their wealth. And all this was before Elon Musk came along, who is now poised to become the world's first trillionaire. I wonder what song Mary would sing to us today, and what sermon Jesus would preach to us today. To her neighbors, the courageous young Mary sang God's promise and her hope. God has shown strength with his arm. God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. Maybe it was Mary's singing all through Jesus' childhood that gave him the courage and the generosity he showed as an adult when he fed the hungry, whenever he stood up for the poor and those oppressed by their culture or their government. Maybe it was Mary's song that formed him and can form us today into courageous people always willing to do the right thing, no matter the cost. "My soul magnifies the Lord," Mary sang, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." I do wonder, though, whether in part at least Mary's song arose out of her perhaps youthful exuberance. "The Mighty One has done great things for me," she sang. "All generations will call me blessed." How long do you suppose it took for her to realize this would be a decidedly mixed blessing? Only two or three weeks after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem, as Moses had commanded, and presented him to God, their newborn son, to God at the temple. And there an old man named Simeon came up to them, a devout and righteous Jew who had been promised that he would see the Lord's Messiah before he died. He saw Jesus, and he took him up in his arms, and he blessed the baby boy. And then he said to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel." And he looked straight at her and he said, "And a sword will pierce your soul also." That sword would strike first when she and Joseph were forced to flee to Bethlehem, to flee to Egypt, leaving Bethlehem. They became refugees in Egypt as they escaped the murderous King Herod. It would strike again whenever she heard him being attacked and rejected by the people he came to help. The sword would leave its deepest wound on the day she followed him to his execution and then followed his broken body to the grave. But all of that would be far off in the future. What she knew that day when she met with her cousin Elizabeth, that God was doing something great, that the world was about to turn for her and her people. The blessing to be received would be beyond their imagining. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame. And to those who for you would yearn, you will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, Mary sang, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. The Holy One has done great things for us as well. Holy indeed is his name.